Hello.
It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France. Tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport, Mass.
HaberHill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery. New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93. That's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebach Winery. We are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Crusher Park in Montana.
Famous Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Woo-hoo. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
If you're going to, I don't know if you can hear me.
Yes, you're there.
If you're going to call, don't call with Skype like I did because it keeps disconnecting me. That's the second time. I was playing a little clip for you before the show started, and all of a sudden I heard the, boop, you're gone. And
after you played the little clip, I said, hey, that's really nice. And I look up and you weren't there. And I'm going, uh-oh. And then it says, your show is live. And I'm going, come back, Mike.
Whoops. Yeah, I'll just have to dial in again. That was the second time in, 20 minutes. So something's going on. Maybe it's the storms outside. Yeah, maybe it's the storms. Let's see.
Maybe not us, though. We've got gorgeous weather here in Florida. Hear
that
country?
Yeah, we do.
It is beautiful here.
That's right. That's right. So if you're looking for a great escape from whatever weather you're experiencing, come on down here to Florida. We
love
see
to have your money.
Up. That's right. The economy.
The economy. We're suffering. We can use your help. Yeah.
Support the tourism. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's what we have here. Wow. Well, welcome back, Ron. I mean,
thanks.
This is, you've been on leave. I don't know what it's been since for the show, but do we even have leave here? I don't know.
I guess.
Oh, I will make a note of that and get the memo out to all the staff. By the way, we now have leave of absence.
Yeah, paid vacation. No,
oh,
not
paid
yet.
Even. Okay, great.
No,
So this is a real treat. We have the actual, this is Ron live. It is November 6th. Let him go, oh, this is a repeat.
This is. Oh, I thought I heard this. Yeah. They say the
it
same
is.
Thing at the beginning every time.
Yeah.
Video problem. You got audio problems every time.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is going to be a popular show. It's December the 15th, Thursday, December 15th. So that's where it is here, and that's where it is where we're at, and it's live. And so you can call us as I put in the page, what does it say, actually? It says Ron is back for this live show and taking your calls and emails. Call us at area code 646-727-3235. And I'm not sure if anybody emailed anything in, but you can also email anytime, 24/7, allaboutwine101@gmail.com is the email address. So we're going to continue with Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, we're going to finish up Oklahoma. Oklahoma is really like a lot of wineries, and I've been reading about a lot of the wineries. I've been reading about all this stuff. But I have not been able to find a guest. We had the guest, 2 weeks ago, Girls Gone Wild, a winery up there. And since Girls Gone Wine. Girls Gone Wine. Sorry if you're listening. Thank you. Yeah. It's Girls Gone Wine. Okay. And, they probably appreciate that. It's probably made the mistake before, though, I'm sure. they were on 2 weeks ago, and that's been it for Oklahoma. I'm not getting anyone that's able or willing to come on and talk with us. I don't know if it's the time of year. People I've tried to talk to, people I have talked to, I have been busy, tied up with different things and stuff. And so I tend to attribute it to the time of year. It's a lot of holiday parties and stuff going on now. And so, but as we have done before we started to get guests on all the time, I used to talk about the areas, talk about different wineries in there and all that, and I will continue to do that tonight. I did talk to a couple of three wineries today and talked about their wines and stuff a little bit that I could on a couple of them. They didn't have much time, but I was able to talk for a little bit on them. So we will talk about Oklahoma and Oklahoma wineries and all that. We will finish Oklahoma tonight. And then next week, we will start. This is something we need to look at, too. Are we going to try to continue on into Oregon next week, a few days before the holiday? Are we going to,
it'd be the 22nd.
It'd be the 22nd, and I think 2 days before that, Hanukkah starts, and so... all the Jewish listeners and people out there will be celebrating. And then we have the Christian holiday Christmas coming up on that Sunday. And then we have New Year's coming up a week later. We might consider.
What did we do last year? Didn't we go on vacation or something last year?
I think we took the jet out and flew down to the the Bahamas or something, I think. Yeah.
Right. NASA or something. I don't know. St. Martin. I think we went on, or maybe it was that when Joe was what they call it, hiatus. There you go. We went on hiatus for hiatus. Okay.
We might look at that and then start after the first of the year, head out to Oregon and spend a few weeks out in Oregon, because Oregon's got a lot of wineries. We will be spending some time out there.
Yeah.
So
Might be best to keep it,
slow it down for next couple of weeks. Actually, we can do a program next week and just, talk about holiday wines and some food and wine pairings and a few things. I might do that before this program's over, too. A couple of things. Since it is the holiday season, for everyone, before the show's over, after I talk about Oklahoma a little bit here, talk about some do's and don'ts for the holiday season, things that you might keep in mind if you're going to wine parties or if you're going to parties and taking wine and all that. Just some good general information to follow. Nothing, not choose this wine for this, but just some information. I'll throw that out. And then I got something I read that was rather interesting to me, so I want to bring that up too. But Oklahoma. The great state of Oklahoma, Sooners. For all of you who do not know what a Sooner is, the term Sooner came from the fact that when the government opened up land to the west, a lot of the starting points was right there on the Arkansas border, basically, going west. And they had a certain time that they were going to release the lands to be open, and then you go out and you claim your land. And if you claim your land and you work it, and I may be mistaken on the time here, but I think if you work for 3 years or 5 years or something like that, then it's your land. You can claim up to 100 acres, and then it just becomes your land. So that was how they opened up the territory of Oklahoma. Well, there was a group of people, a large group of people, that went out sooner than the others, left Arkansas before the official time to go, and they went out and claimed some land in Oklahoma before it was officially open to claim the land. And so because they went out sooner than the others, they have been referred to as Sooners. And that's where the term Oklahoma and the Sooners comes from, because people who were claiming the land before they were really officially supposed to. So a little bit of trivia there for those of you who aren't aware of the term of Sooner. But Oklahoma Wines, I talked about this a little bit about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I'm going to go into this a little bit more again here now, because we haven't been in Oklahoma in a little bit. We got a little bit of time on the program here to talk about it. But Oklahoma Wines. Oklahoma was a big wine area in the early part of the 1900s, 20th century. They made a lot of wines. They was very, very popular. After the Civil War, a lot of people did settle there, and they started a lot of people from the East and stuff who knew about grapes and stuff, and they decided to grow, and they grew a lot. Agricultural products and all that, and grapes were part of it. The whole thing really was destroyed during the Great Dust Bowl of the 30s. The Great Depression of the 30s hit it, which was spurred on by the Dust Bowl. And then Prohibition during that time also, from 1918 to 1932, the Prohibition was in effect, and it destroyed wine as we know it in the state of Oklahoma. they struggled, stopped, and they're back in Jamaica now. About 52 wineries, currently 52 wineries. I don't know how accurate that number is, because I've looked on a lot of different websites, and they all show right around 50, 52, 53. But I've been trying to find different ones, different wineries in there, and a lot of them have said that they've closed down and stuff. So I don't know how accurate we are on the websites, or in the number of wineries in Oklahoma. Oklahoma makes a lot of different varieties of wines. The grapes range the gamut of what is possible to grow. Barberas, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Catawba, Chambourson, Chardonnay, Chenin Blanc, Concord, Gewürztraminer, Demeanor, Merlot, Muscat Canelli, Niagara, Norton, Petit Syrah, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, Sauval Blanc, Syrah, Vidal Blanc, Vignol, Villard Noir, Vignier, Zinfandel. Probably the biggest cross section that, you know, and it, especially considering the climate in Oklahoma. Oklahoma can get really quite cold. They have serious frost in there. It snows quite a bit in Oklahoma. And the wind goes sweeping across the plain. I mean, it's really, really blows in some cold air coming out of Colorado and northern New Mexico there and the Panhandle of Texas. And it really gets cold in that area. And so they have to battle a lot of this. They have years where some serious, serious frost have hit the grapes there and have killed grapes in different areas, and people have had to battle it and replant and all that. One winery I'm going to talk about a little bit here that I talked to for a little bit earlier, and they were saying that they had a bad frost in 4 or 5 years ago down there. I know they had one in 2004 all across that part of the country. That might have been when it happened. But there, some nasty weather can hit there. So to be able to grow all these different types of grapes attributes to the microclimate. So if you remember Girls Gone Wine last week, 2 weeks ago when we talked to them, they were talking about the little microclimate in the southeast corner of Oklahoma and how it really is so different from other areas in the state. And I think the microclimates is really what's kept it going in the diversity of the grapes in Oklahoma. There is a winery in Oklahoma called Woods and Waters Winery. Woods and Waters Winery is, and let me pull it up here because I had a little bit earlier, I was looking at it, and I wanted to bring up Woods and Waters Winery because they again, in Oklahoma. They're one of the wineries in Oklahoma. They're located in, well, where is it? I lost it here. Wine Bistro? Oh, dead air here. Well, I'm trying to find this. Here we go. They are located in between, oh, here, this is, let me zoom out on my map here and see what I've got. Oops, wrong direction. There we go. They're located just southwest of Oklahoma City. Right now, the current weather at Chickasha Municipal Airport, which I don't know if that's Oklahoma City's official airport or not, but Chickasha, Oklahoma, Chickasha Municipal Airport is now 39 degrees there, with the wind blowing out of the northeast at 5 miles an hour. So, yeah, well, that's pretty chilly. And, I mean, we're not into winter yet even. I mean, this is, well, actually, officially, winter starts next week. So, but they are located just a little bit southwest of Oklahoma City. And the reason I wanted to talk about them, I called them and asked them a little bit, and I was able to talk to a guy that was in the tasting room, and I asked him if he can talk, and he said, just for a couple of minutes, we're really busy, and I'm, you know, everyone's busy. And I said, okay. So I asked him about the wines they make, and they said that they grow quite a few of their own wines, and they do quite a bit of their own, all their own stuff. And I asked him about one that was really caught my eye, which was the ice wine. They do an ice wine. And I asked him about the ice wine. He said, yes, they do it every year. It's cold enough there, and they get enough cold weather, and they actually pick it frozen on the vines, and they make an ice wine. They said it's a real big seller. It goes extremely fast most of the time, and they sell a lot of it in the middle of the winter, the middle of the holiday season, and it goes fast. He also liked to talk about his Ruby Ice, which is a wine made from a late harvest Cabernet Sauvignon grapes, red ice wine that's made from red Cabernet Sauvignon grapes. Sort of a red ice wine. You can make an ice wine out of anything, actually. Any grape will work. Usually they're noted as being white wines because it's so commonly made with Rieslings or Sauvignons or Mueller Thurgau or something like that. But the any grape will do. So they do a late harvest Cabernet Sauvignon every year. And they also do a chocolate Cabernet, a white Merlot, white Zinfandel. All these grapes, they say they grow around there. A big variety of grapes that are grown on the property there, which, again, being close to Oklahoma City like that, I've been there. It's flat, and it always surprises me that because of the flat areas and all that, that there is so many different types of grapes growing there and so much being done in that area. Let's see, I wanted to check over real fast here and be sure that I was still online.
So if we have the audio.
Yeah, I was tonight.
Yeah, I was disconnected the fourth time just now.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah, wow. I keep calling back. I keep coming back.
Whenever you call back, up in the lower left-hand or lower right-hand corner, I see the little thing pops up that says Skype, and his mic is now online. And I'm going, you have been. But that's every time you disconnect, it tells me you're back, so.
Yeah, it's disconnecting me. I don't know why. Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to check and be sure I was there, too. Yeah. if you ever don't hear me, then, take over. Start talking.
Okay.
Okay. But Woods and Waters Wines, interesting, really interesting winery, interesting selection of wines, reasonably priced too. I mean, all of them are less than $20 or less, except for the ice wine. The ice wine runs $30, but really quite a diversified set of wines. And a lot of them grown right there. In Moscato, they have what they call a Sweet Dreams, which is a soft, very sweet red wine. They have Rosés, Merlot, a Tempranillo, which is sold out, a Malbec, which is sold out, award-winning Syrah. Quite a diversified set of wines. They have quite a bit at the winery, too. I mean, again, this is just a little bit southwest of Oklahoma City. So if you're ever out in that area, they have a bistro there that offers all sorts of stuff. The bistro is open every Saturday from 11 to 3. Big room for the bistro and all that. A lot of different diversified stuff, including pizzas and panini sandwiches and desserts and all that, part of the winery. They have areas for weddings. They have a murder mystery dinner that they put on. It's a Wild West type theme of a murder mystery dinner that they put on there throughout the year. A couple of them throughout the year. It really quite an interesting winery. The reason I pulled them up was simply because I was curious about the ice wine, and I'm sad I didn't get to talk more to someone there when I was talking to him. But a very interesting winery. If you get a chance, if you are in the Oklahoma City area, and Oklahoma City is the capital of Oklahoma, if you're in the Oklahoma City area there, then be sure to check out the winery. Because the ice wine itself would be interesting just to try it. If you're going from Oklahoma City, it's only, less than 30 miles, it looks like, outside of Oklahoma City. So it's rather close to Oklahoma City, according to what I've seen here on this map. So, maybe a little bit more than that. It looks like it might be further, but not a long, long ways away. So check out the Woods and Waters Winery and Vineyard in that area. Again, the ice wine seems like it might be something that is really quite interesting. 39 degrees there now, though, brr. considering we're sitting on. Oh, and there's a picture. I'm looking at a picture of it, and they're very flat area around there. Their vineyards are very flat and flat area and all. Interesting. Woods and Waters Winery is the name of the winery, and the website is woodsandwaterswinery.com. So that's, if you want to check that out and look that up, that's where it's located. I want to talk about also, let's go back to our, about the Oklahoma wines and vineyards and all that. There's a couple other things I wanted to cover. Oklahoma also utilizes just about everything they can grow in that state to make wine, just like everybody does. I mean, they're not much different than any other state. Whatever they can ferment, they're going to ferment, and they do. They have wines made out of peaches and jalapeno peppers and just about any fruit and that they can possibly grow in the state there. Oklahoma does have one part of an AVA, though. The one part of the state is an AVA. When we talked to Michelle at Girls Gone Wine last week, she mentioned that they were right in the area of that AVA. This is called the Ozark Mountain AVA. It's located in northwestern Arkansas, southern Missouri, and northeast Oklahoma. It's the sixth largest AVA in total size in America, that covers 3,520,000 acres, or 14,255 kilometers or hectares. There's five smaller AVAs established within the boundaries of the Ozark Mountain AVA, just to recognize the distinct soils and climate and growing conditions and all that within the AVA. None of them are in Oklahoma, though. The only AVA is the Ozark Mountain AVA, and that is just a major one that is part of Oklahoma. It is the subregions. I think we've discussed them before, too, because we've talked about Arkansas and Missouri already. But Altus AVA, which is in Arkansas, Mountain AVA, which is in that Arkansas area, Augusta AVA, northern Arkansas and southern Missouri, Herman AVA, which is in Missouri, Ozark Highlands, also in Missouri. So these are sub ones, but the only AVA that is in Oklahoma, the Ozark Mountain AVA. Oklahoma has a Oklahoma grape growers wine and, let's see, what is the official name? Oklahoma Grape Growers and Winemakers Association. That is the body in Oklahoma. If you followed the programs before, we've talked about different states and the organizations that help with the states and that help promote the different parts. We have Florida Grape Growers Association here in Florida. If you are a grape grower, you're part of it. A lot of wineries are, and there's also people who are not a winery that are belonging to that. There is different ones we've covered in all the different states. Oklahoma is the Oklahoma Grape Growers and Winemakers Association, which they cover pretty much everything there. Some areas just have the growers, some just have the wineries, and this one is covered, both of them. A lot of different things on this. If you want to check it out, you can just it's www.oklahomawines.org, and it tells about it. A lot of information, classes and events that are going on within the wineries and within the Grape Growers Association. It also lists a whole bunch of different wineries in the state, where they are, what major roads they're connected to or off of, and all that. The interesting thing is that there's no wineries that I saw in Oklahoma up in the Panhandle, the little finger that sticks out to the west. No maps or anything ever showed anything there. I don't know why. I mean, we talked about the elevation in Oklahoma and how the elevation of Oklahoma drops down low in the southeast and raises up in the higher elevations in the northwest. Maybe it's because of the elevation there. You would think that the elevation would be beneficial to some of the grapes there, but for some reason there is no wineries up in the Panhandle. There's some that start approaching that, but none listed up in the Panhandle. Most of them clustered around the center of the state, Oklahoma City and Tulsa, and that major area there. The couple other wineries I talked to, let me pull up the website of one of them here. And I believe this is the one. Yeah, Territory Cellars. I tried to call that. I got a hold of someone who was said that they didn't have any answers for me. They referred me to the website, and they said that I left a phone number for someone to call me, and they didn't get back to me in time. Oh, Mike went on offline again. He's back again, I see. And boy, it's a good thing you're not talking, and I am. Oh, I heard that. Did you fall over?
No, it disconnected.
Oh, again. Yeah, I saw. It's a good thing I'm talking, not you.
Yeah, definitely. I might just reset Skype real quick and see if that does anything. I don't know.
Oh, well.
Maybe I should do that.
Yeah, if I disappear, though, you got to take over, so don't run away. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Okay. Territory Cellars. Territory Cellars, again, they referred me to the website, territorycellars.com. TerritorySellers, Cellars, .com. And at TerritorySellers.com, I went on there, and I don't know if they have to be a winery events and our wines and stuff, but I didn't find some information I wanted. They have a list of their wines at the Territory Cellars, Boomer Sooner. They call it Boomer. They have a little definition of Boomer is a person who settles in a booming area. And a Sooner is an Oklahoma native person who settles government land before it is open, which I just explained that a little bit ago. They have a wine called Boomer Sooner, which is a Cabernet Sauvignon, an Oklahoma Cabernet Sauvignon. Interesting. They have what they call a still water, which they say where no current is visible. It's home of Oklahoma State University and the Cowboys, which is Oklahoma State University's mascot, and the Cowboys. The Stillwater, Oklahoma, is the name of the town. They call this wine Stillwater, two words. It is a white Zinfandel, an Oklahoma white Zinfandel. They also make a semi-dry white wine made with Vidal Blanc. They call this Black Gold, crisp white, dry white wine, similar to a Sauvignon Blanc, the Vidal Blanc. Close grapes, they really are. The one... I doesn't explain where they get the name or why they got the name, but it is a full-bodied sweet wine, American Concord grapes on that one. And they have also what they call a powwow, full-bodied red. It doesn't say what grapes are in it. It does say sweet. So, you know, American red table wine, a sweet wine. They can ship to quite a few states. They have a list of states they can ship to, Florida being one of them. Obviously, I always look at that since that's where we are right now. But they have quite a few states listed here, so that they can ship to. But I wish I had a chance to talk to someone more there, because I had a lot of questions about the wineries and the wines and what was going on. Winery events, they didn't have anything listed currently. The spice mixes and gifts, they have a whole bunch of different things that they offer for spice mixes and gifts, which looks very interesting, but no prices or anything on it, just different mixes and dips. Territory Sellers, if you're listening, please get in touch with me. I would really love to talk with you a little bit more about your website and about your wines. In fact, I might even drop a note to you and have you call me. But they do have Territory Sellers does have a lot of links on here. They have a page of a whole lot of links. They have one link here which is really interesting, which caught my eye. Which didn't connect anything, but Lincoln County grapes. I guess they are in Lincoln County, and just a website just for Lincoln County grapes, which is odd that just a county would be designated for a grape growing. But they have a whole bunch of other stuff on here. But check out their website. You'll see what I'm talking about. I'll see if I can get a hold of them. Maybe I can tell a little bit more about them next time that we're on the program here. It looked interesting, but I didn't have a chance to discuss any more about them or go into any more detail. They are located in Stroud, Oklahoma, which is just about halfway between Tulsa and Oklahoma City on I-44. They're just about perfectly halfway between the two there. So, if you're in Oklahoma City or Tulsa, it's a trip down I-44 will put you into Territory Sellers. And another one I looked at here, let me pull them up here and take a look at them. Is this the one? Yes, this is. Prairie Rattler Winery. I talked to Prairie Rattler, actually talked to them a couple of weeks ago, and
asked if they can be on. They said that they weren't able to join us, and then I tried to get a hold of them again today, and for some reason I didn't connect with them. But Prairie Rattler Winery is owned and operated, a family-owned and operated winery. They opened in January 2007. They do small handcrafted wines, like most small wineries do, actually. I mean, if you're going to talk about small wineries, you're going to talk about small handcrafted wines. Their labels are really cool, though. They have all sorts of distinct, unique labels on it. They have a buffalo on one of their labels. They have a harvester on one of them. They have different portraits, actually, of the county there. They have a tall grass prairie preserve. They have oil-filled pump jack. They have waterfalls from Scheidler Lake, which is their Salt Creek Bridge, old family-owned oil-filled grocery store, and wild horses, and Scheidler Skyline. Scheidler is the name of the local town there. So they have pretty cool labels. Their wines are rather interesting, though. I wish I had an opportunity to talk to them more about their wines. Grape wines, they have what they call a Whiz Bang Red, which is a semi-sweet Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir semi-sweet, sort of an interesting approach there. It'd be interesting how and what they do with that. They have a blush wine made from the Sangiovese grapes. Again, interesting approach. Zinfandel, they call a red semi-sweet wine, and the picture of it that they have here is rather light, almost a blush style. Their dessert wine is a semi-dry white wine harvested from their own vineyard in 2010, made with Cayuga grapes and peach. I'm sure an interesting blend there. Cayuga grapes being quite sweet anyway. And they have a red sweet wine, and I'm sure I would destroy this name if I try to pronounce it, so I'll try to pronounce it. It's S-K-U-W-E, Scooby. Zhuje. Suhi. If the J is an H, it's Suji. So, I don't know. Whatever, however they pronounce that. They also have what they call a Southern Pride, which a dry red wine made with Syrah's grapes. Speaking of Syrah, that's actually what I'm having tonight with the program. What is this? From Australian. Southern Australian Syrah. I'm having a Syrahs. I have to say the Z since we're coming from Australia. But the Southern Pride, dry red Syrah grapes, $3 of the purchase price goes to the Pioneer Spirit in Ponca City, Oklahoma, to send packages to the U.S. military. So good cause there. The grapes are the wine is used to promote something like that. And then they have what they call a tall grass morning dew made with Traminac grapes. It's a semi-sweet white wine. But that's not all they have. What was rather interesting is some of their what they call their country wines. We just talked about grape wines, but they're country wines. First one is a Damfine wine, Damfine, Damfine wine, which is a blend of Pinot Noir and Blackberry. They also have a Jalapeno Raisin wine. They call this a cooking wine. But again, like I've said over and over again, if it's not good enough to drink, why would you want to put it in your food and eat it? So this is great to cook with chili, marinate steaks, roast, the jalapeno flavor without the heat. But isn't that what jalapeno is, heat? They have also a Pinillo Pineapple, which is a sweet pineapple wine. That is interesting. Oklahoma has a pineapple wine. They are sold out of that right now, as a matter of fact, from according to the website. They have a Plum Good wine, obviously made with plums, sold out. Strawberry Gusher, which, again, referring to the oil gushers, made with sweet strawberry. Blackberry, a sweet country wine. It is also sold out. An elderberry wine. Sold out also. They will be bottling that soon, they said. I guess the website's up to date, so that would be correct. A cranberry wine won a 2010 bronze ribbon at the Oklahoma State Fair. And then last, an Okie Pokie. The Okie Pokie, a semi-sweet wine, a blend of Sangiovese grapes, peach, and strawberry blends. Interesting, to say the least. The reason I called them is I wanted to talk about those fruit wines. And again, I wasn't able to have a long conversation with them. But these are some interesting fruit blends. They're interesting wines. If you want to see their website, it is nothing to do with Perry Rattler Winery in Scheidler, Oklahoma. Their website is under byronhammer.com. BYRONJHAMMER.com, ByronJHammer.com. That is their website. Quite an interesting, winery. They have a list of a lot of other local attractions and things that you can see at the winery, including Buffalo Reserve, and there's an inn and real working oil fields and cattle ranches and numerous Indian casinos and all sorts of stuff there. Oklahoma has a big Indian population. For those of you who are not aware of it, Oklahoma was really a lot of reservations and a big, large Indian population in the state of Oklahoma. They are located on 67 County, or, yeah, Conry. Well, I don't know what this, C-O-U-N-R-Y, they forgot the T. Conry, 67 Conry Road, 4681, or 67 County Road. I don't know. In Scheidler, Oklahoma, 24 miles east of Ponca City, Oklahoma, on State Road 11. So there's, if you want to check it out. Again, flat Oklahoma country, beautiful country there. Oklahoma does have some gorgeous land there and gorgeous country. They have their wines spread out throughout the state, different places. Buy it. You can go on to their website and see that also. They also have recipes there for different things. A blackberry wine cake, which really looks delicious. Jeez, I need to check that out. Talking about their wines, uses marinades, cooking with a ham and the pineapple wine, and all sorts of different stuff here. So, interesting site. Again, Prairie Rattler Winery, located in Scheidler, Oklahoma. ByronJHammer.com is their website. And there was one other I called that I thought was really quite interesting, too. And let me find that one here. Was this the one? Turkey Creek, I believe, was this one. No, it wasn't Turkey Creek. I tried to get a hold of Turkey Creek, and they never responded to me. Whispering Vines. Yeah, Whispering Vines. This is the one. Whispering Vines. Whispering Vines is located in Tulsa. Actually, their address is Tulsa, right at the outer edge of Tulsa. They have vineyards, they have tasting rooms, they have everything, and it's more of a hilly country there. That part of the state, Tulsa, is a little bit more hills. Rolling hills, larger hills, and stuff like that. So they do have quite a bit to offer in that area of the state. Mike keep popping in and out. This is funny that he's having so much problems. I hope I'm still online. I guess I ought to go check and be sure. because I could be talking. Am I still online? Okay, good.
Yeah, you just popped online though. That's kind of interesting. It was you. I mean, you've been talking, you know, since I've been on here, but you just showed on Skype as Ron is online.
Oh,
so
he's
been on. Hey, that's strange. Something's going on.
Yeah, we'll get a lot of listeners now.
Yeah, exactly. All the problems.
Yeah, apparently. Whispering Vines Vineyard and Winery. They produce 13 different award-winning wines. Interesting. Again, I'm always amazed about some of these wines that are being grown in Oklahoma. Cabernet Sauvignon. They grow, and they reasonably priced. Their Cabernet Sauvignon is $14.99, $15. They do a Merlot, which is $14, a Pinot Noir, which is $20. Keeping it a dry Pinot Noir. They also do a Syrah, which is $11. But then they do the Concord, which is the Native American grape, which is sweet, and it gives you that Concord taste. They have a sweet rosé. Doesn't say what grape it's from. Zinfandel, also. Again, I'd like to know if they're growing these things or if they're getting them out of state. This is because so many people have Zinfandels listed. I think they're growing them in Oklahoma. Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, Riesling, Muscat Canelli, Blush. And the Blush is made with, I don't know, it doesn't say, I'm sorry. A peach table wine, a cherry table wine. And a sangria. Their peach table wine is only $6.99, $7. That might be interesting. You know, a peach table wine, if it's just a hint of peach, it's not overflowing, it could taste something like a Sauvignon Blanc or something like that, because Sauvignon Blanc can give you a hint of peach or grassiness, too. You know, cherry table wine is only $10. That's interesting, too. And they make a sangria, a sweet wine, a festive blend of fruit wine and natural juices, they say. That's $11. But interesting, the reason I got a hold of them, not only is because of their wines, but also because they have a lot of pictures on their site. And it's always nice to see pictures of what they're doing and all that. A lot of stainless steel I'm seeing on this. Obviously, the reds, it doesn't say if there are any serious oak aging or anything. So I don't know if they are doing oak and cask or if they're just doing oak chips or logs or whatever. There's some oak barrels that you can see here, but it's hard to really just the size of them. You know, you can get any number of sizes of oak barrels. But Zinfandel must be growing quite well in Oklahoma, because you're seeing it all the time and all over the place on there, which I never realized Oklahoma was a Zinfandel growing state. The Whispering Vines Vineyard, and if I can get back to, here they go. Their website tells a little bit about them. Again, a lot of cool pictures on their website. It says the climate in Oklahoma allows growth of high quality grapes. I guess it's where you are. If you get over in the flat area, it might make a difference. It's a family and friends handpicked the grapes at Whispering Vines. They have their vineyard manager, Dean Risen, works year-round carrying the vines. They have two vineyards, one at the winery and one at their home in Keystone Lake area. They invite you out to the one at the winery. The winemaker at Whispering Vines uses the highest quality grapes. They allow their taste, their palates, to guide them through what they're making. The tasting room gift shop is ran and taken care of by Doreen Risen, manager and vineyard analyst. Also, Doreen is, considering that we keep seeing the Risen name, is probably part of the family of the whole thing. It's family ran and operated. They tried to make it a memorable experience. Their son David and his wife Adrian also help in the winery and in the taste room and the daily operations. And they also have a granddaughter who is now part of the family operation, looking at her growing up in the vineyard, which are in the winery, which is always fun. Our sister winery in South Florida
had their granddaughter grow up in the winery. She used to sit on the tasting bar and tell people about the wines and stuff. And now she's married with a child herself. So it's always fun to have people grow up in the wineries and see them go on their own. Whispering Vines family invite you out to see them. Interesting winery, interesting area, interesting place. If you are interested, they're open Monday through Friday, 4:45 to 6. Wow. I guess they work during the day and just open up for an hour and 15 minutes Monday through Friday. Saturday, they're open from 12 to 6, and Sunday, they're closed. So, wow, good hours. They're located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The office phone number, 918-447-0808. Their website is whisperingvines.net. And you can get hold of them at whisperingvines@yahoo.com. An interesting place, though. Again, someone I tried to contact, tried to talk to, and I just they weren't available for me to talk to, and they were busy. And so I didn't get a chance to talk to them as much as I wanted to. But Oklahoma, interesting. Interesting place, Oklahoma, as far as wineries go. Interesting as far as what they grow there, what they have to offer. I would love to take a trip to Oklahoma and just check out some of the things like the Zinfandels and the Cabs and Merlots and some of these wines that they're making there, just to see really what actually I can order them. Some of these wineries have them available for shipping, so that might even be a possibility and do something like that. But interesting state as far as wine goes. I was really surprised at the number of wineries in Oklahoma and how much a diversity of grapes that they do and wines that they make. It obviously surprised me quite a bit. So that ends Oklahoma. We will probably after the first of the year, we will start on Oregon. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll just be throwing out stuff to you and all. But I do want to cover something here in the last few minutes of the program tonight. Holidays are here. They're on us, whether we celebrate Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever. There's always parties. There's always fun. There's always things that we do. And we always like to take wine when we go to a lot of these parties, since obviously you're wine people out there because you're listening to a program called All About Wine. And so just a few do's and don'ts about wine. You're invited to a party. I'll bring the wine, you say. That's cool. That's good. But don't go out and grab some obscure wine that nobody knows. Don't go into your cellar and grab one that you've been saving because it's for you want your friends to enjoy it. They'll enjoy it, but you won't get the reactions you expect, and you won't get the reactions you want. Save that for times when people are sitting around and drinking wine. The parties are parties. If you want to bring out your special wine and invite a few people over that will enjoy that special wine, and do it then. When you're taking it to parties, it's going to get lost in the evening. You will be disappointed in the fact that people aren't enjoying it as much as you would like them to. There'll be those there who will find it interesting and will enjoy it, but then there will be those there who will take the attitude, wine's wine, and just slug it down like it's a Jello shot. So, save your special wines, save your wines that have been gathering dust in your cellar for times to share with people that will enjoy it. And you will enjoy it more that way too. That just go out and buy yourself a wine to take to thing. I'm sure you can find ones that these people are wine drinkers. You can pick up some nice wines around $25 that are just absolutely excellent, and yet you're not breaking into your cellar to bring them out. And along the same line, be prepared to try something different. You
may be a Chardonnay drinker and you just love Chardonnay. And I have a lot of people come in, oh, that's all I drink is Chardonnay. But there's a lot of other great wines out there that can appeal to you that aren't Chardonnays. Be daring. It's a good time to try them when you go to some of these parties this time of year. Instead of going out and buying another bottle of the Chardonnay or another bottle of the French Chablis or something that you're so used to, find something different. Grab a Malbec from Argentina or a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. Or, I'm sorry, or Carmenere from any number of states, actually. You don't have to, you know, pick up a California one. They grow them in a lot of different states. We have been talking about wineries from all around the country and over the last, year and a half or so. And so everybody's got something that's unique and different. So instead of always going out and looking for your wine that you always get every time and take and stuff, good time to experiment. Then if you find it that it's not really to your taste, you're not a big fan of it, hey, everyone else there will drink it. You don't have to worry about it. And also, if other people bring stuff that you've never had before, don't say, well, I'm not a big fan of that wine. Give it a try. You never know. You may find something that you go, wow, I never realized. And so, that's, you know, one of the things that the guy who taught me about wine, I will be forever grateful. He taught me to find something about all wines that you can find enjoyable. And there is. There's things in all wines that are enjoyable. Give them a chance. Don't stop there. Another thing, don't overspend. You can go crazy on wines. And, just absolutely crazy on wines. And this is not the time of year to do it. Sure, you might want to get some nice wines, but you can find some nice wines. If you're go to one store all the time, get to know the clerks and say, hey, I'm looking for a nice red wine, heavy red in the $20, $25 range. They can guide you to some nice wines. You don't have to go $50, $60, $70. You can keep them down in the lower range. There's even nice ones out there in $10, $15 range. You don't have to break the bank just to get yourself some nice wines. This also goes for some sparkling wines. You don't have to stay with just the French champagnes and get yourself the high-end French champagnes to celebrate the new year. You can find yourself some very pleasant wines from all around the country and all around the world that aren't French champagnes. And the Italian sparkling wines, the Spanish sparkling wines, all of these, and there's names for these, and for the life of me, I always end up forgetting, and I really should know, but hey, that's, you know, I do forget them. But these are things that you really should look at. There's some great sparkling wines all over the place, champagnes, if you want to call them. A lot of places still call them champagnes and stuff, and you know, you don't have to get the real expensive ones. You can find some $15, $20 range that will really, really impress yourself and others. Also, other states or other countries, Chile, Argentina, New Zealand, Australia, we're all familiar with Australia, but get away from it all. We've covered a lot of different countries in this program over the last 3+ years, and there's a lot of great wines coming out of all sorts of different countries. So go into your local wine stores, your big ones, and see if they have any from different countries, and there's always possibilities there. When you take wines to parties or something, have them ready to be served. Don't expect the waiter or the, I'm sorry, don't expect the host to prepare them for you. Have them ready to go right then. You walk into a party and you say, here, this is a nice red for you. Have it ready to be opened and served. Or if it's not, then, you know, don't be shy about saying, would you mind putting this in the refrigerator for, or, you know, 15, 20 minutes before you serve it? Or, you know, this is a little cold. Could you wait a little bit before you open this or something? And as far as etiquette goes, your host is not required to serve your wine. All right. This is something that I've seen over the years, and I've had people ask about and stuff like that. When you take a wine to a party,
and you present it to the host, it is a gift. If they decide to share the gift with you, that's great, that's wonderful, but they don't have to share it with you. Most hosts will. Most hosts, if they do have a party and they have wine, they will have the wines that they're planning on serving ready and open and going, but they will probably open yours up a little bit later. If you want to have it presented in the right temperature and all that, then ask them. If you're planning on serving this later, would you mind putting it in a refrigerator half hour before you serve it if it's a red? Or, you know, if you're planning on serving this later, it's a white right now. It's, you know, I like to have it a little bit cooler than this or whatever. So, you know, and you know, an ice bucket, if you're having hosting the party, have an ice bucket ready for the sparkling wines and have it so the wines will present themselves the best they possibly can so that everyone will enjoy them. And last but not least, don't drive yourself crazy trying to find the perfect wine. There's lots of wines out there. I am always of the opinion that if someone is going to give me a wine, I'm going to say, great, wonderful, thank you very much. I don't care what it is. If someone's going to give me a wine, I'm going to enjoy being given a wine. It's just as simple as that. So if you're out looking for wines, you can overthink it. Well, let's see, we're going to have this and we're going to have that, and we need to have a wine that goes well with this or goes well with that or all that. Don't go crazy. Don't over obsess about it, trying to find the perfect matching for whatever you're having. You know, get the wines. If it matches well, wonderful, great. If not, then you can just ask the host to wait a little bit and serve it later. You don't have to have it with the meal. If you are the only one bringing the wine, then, you know, get yourself one that's a little bit softer and a little bit more generic, if you will, that will go with any number of things, because not everyone has the same taste. Which is wonderful, because if we all did, we can get by with making three wines in the world, red, white, and rosé, and be done with it. But, again, people will enjoy it no matter what, so it's don't obsess over it. Have fun with it. Enjoy it, and definitely enjoy wine during the holidays. It's there's all sorts of great wines out there, kosher wines, sweet wines, dry wines. Somebody's calling in. No, wait, nobody's calling. There's all sorts of stuff out there, all sorts of wines. So enjoy the wines. Find yourself some wines. Enjoy the wines. And just have some wonderful, wonderful wines during the holidays. Again, don't obsess over it too much. And that's it.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you. We still haven't came up with an ending phrase, a catchphrase, though.
So. Oh, how about, and that's it.
Hey!
Yeah, that'll work.
We'll have to work on that. Anybody have any suggestions, email us.
Right. Yeah, we can always play the intro again, and, you know, it's all about wine. Yeah, just play that over again. Wow, very cool stuff. Very interesting tips for, especially because the holiday parties are upon us, and people like to celebrate and do things, and that's a very important part of it. So good timing on bringing that up, definitely. So let's see, December 22nd, you want to do
24th. Oh, do a show on the 22nd?
Yeah, were you talking earlier about that, or
yeah,
do you want to skip
talking, the... You know, I can probably find some information and stuff to talk about. I always can, because I'm always running across stuff and all that. We might not have a full hour show,
okay.
but let's, you know, let's call it our holiday show and just talk about talk about a few odds and ends and stuff, and we'll talk a little bit more about decanting wines. We'll talk about a little bit more about holiday wines, gift wines, and stuff like that, too. So,
okay.
Why don't we go ahead and have it? We might not do a full hour, but we can look at a lot of odds and ends. I keep finding little things here and there, little bits and pieces about wine that I want to share on the program, and I put them in my folder and say, I'm going to do this one day, and I never do. So that might be a good opportunity to do it there.
Yep.
So,
all right. Sounds good.
So we'll do a program then. Oh, before I forget it, too, Hanukkah starts next Tuesday. So everyone out there who celebrates that, whatever the proper term is, happy Hanukkah or peace be with you or whatever. So have yourself a good Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. And
very cool.
So it's coming up Tuesday. So.
Wow. Yeah, and before long, it's going to everything, all this rush and everything, and people out for the holidays is it's going to be over with. It'll be a new year.
And I think everyone's looking forward to that.
It's like upon us, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
Wow. I think I personally just set a record on Skype today this evening that I've been on here this long without being disconnected. So that's good.
Oh,
but
really?
It was six disconnects, and I haven't disconnected yet since.
Wow.
Then, so.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. How about that?
I keep noticing Skype. You disappear and come back and disappear and come back.
I don't know. I don't know if it's Blog Talk Radio.
Something's happening now. Something happened then. It sounded like you were playing handball. Yeah, you're just... I've almost lost you completely again now. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but you're... Well, you just disconnected for the sixth time. There it goes. Caller disconnect. It has dropped. Caller six disconnect. In fact, I see a list of them here where Mike has been with us and he's disconnecting. Coming back. There he is.
Yeah. Wow. That's unusual.
You sound like you were in a handball court. It just, it almost sounded like you were playing handball there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on Skype's end or because I'm not logging back in. It's just disconnecting. Dropping.
Yeah, I have a list here, and it says caller has dropped, caller disconnected me again, caller has dropped, disconnected. I mean, it's just
but that's on Blog Talk Radio. That's not Skype.
That's on Blog Talk Radio, and it just keeps on showing me where you just drop. I don't know if it has to be Skype. I would think that.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know. Well, anyway, I guess it's time to close the show anyway. So
yeah, so
you don't hear me dropping again. So we'll be back next Thursday.
We'll be back.
That would be December 22nd, and we'll do odds and ends.
It'll be an odds and ends program. If you all have any subject you want to talk about or anything, by all means, get in touch with us. And
email is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That's an email address, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And Ron gets those, and we'll respond on the air, whatever's the best for that situation. And hopefully, you get it in time. We'll talk about it next Thursday,
all right,
22nd.
Any subject you want to talk about, we'll be happy to bring up and discuss it.
Excellent. All right. Yeah. We'll see you all. See everybody next time, next Thursday. And thank you again for listening and listening on the archives, we're still on. That's right. We're live still.
We're live. But if you do listen to this on the archives, thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much. If it's not Thursday, December 15th, you're listening on archives probably. So,
archives.
thank you all for listening to us in whichever way. And join us again next week. And, it's a great program, as always, and we'll see you all. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next time.
We'll see everyone next time. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Not now.